Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, feedback is insurance. The questions this cast answers are, why should I give feedback? Is feedback about correcting behavior? And how can I get my team to perform better? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey, you. You've been in a management position for a while now, haven't you? Is it, 10? Maybe even 15 years? Are you a director now? Oh, you're a junior VP? Are you wondering what comes next? What skills do you need to take you to the next level? Are you maybe unsure that the skills that have got you here will get you there? If you've got questions like this, we have the answers. Mark Horstman, founder of Manager Tools, will executive coach individuals who are wanting to take their career to that next level. If you're interested in being coached by Mark, email Maggie on our team. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com and see if Mark can help. All right. So, Kate.
Ooh, feedback.
Oh, feedback. Classic topic. We talk about feedback a lot, which is really important for the people that are listening to this cast, right? The managers. Managers really fear giving feedback. We're, afraid to confront our people. We worry about pushback and they defend themselves. We don't know how to do it. We're afraid we're going to be clumsy and we're going to fumble through it. But folks, all of those reasons can be left alone without a moment of concern because feedback isn't about confronting. Done right, it doesn't get pushback. And most importantly, feedback is about future behavior, which means all you're doing is paying for insurance on future behavior. And since it takes only 10 seconds, if you use the Manager Tools feedback model, it's really, really cheap insurance. So today's cast, what are we going to talk about, Kate?
We are going to talk about the fact that feedback is like insurance. Positive feedback ensures more effective behavior, and negative feedback ensures more effective behavior. The idea of feedback being like insurance kind of harkens back to, if you've been to one of our conferences or if you've been to a training with us, the idea that we talk about feedback is about effective future behavior. So many managers are thinking about the past, they're thinking about right now. They don't necessarily focus on the future. And let's posit that your directs, one of them, just did something well. It doesn't have to be a big thing. They were on time with the deliverable, they are on time to a meeting, or they corrected an error in one of your reports.
Yeah, something small.
Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe they let some internal customer know that the project's on track or that there was a problem and they did that proactively. And maybe if they told them about a problem, they said, hey, this one, we're going to fix it. And like shared the impact on the project. So maybe they're just sharing information. Maybe it's just communication.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Our guidance in all of these cases would, of course, be to give them positive feedback. And it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I've heard it before. Some listeners think or ask themselves, do I really need to be giving positive feedback when my directs are doing nothing other than just their job? I mean, doing their job to the standard expectations that we pay them to do their job, do I really need to then give them positive feedback for that? And if you're actually asking the question, the answer is yes. And the reason for it is, imagine a world where everyone always does their job. I mean, if it were a given, everyone doing their job all the time just happened magically and we didn't have to do anything about it, great. But imagine how good the world would be if we all just did our job. That's good enough reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, it would be so amazing.
Love that. Just do it.
I would suggest 40% of the stuff that frustrates me at work is not things outside of our control.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would say more than 40%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's standard stuff. More just job stuff not getting done. We want to remember the middleman test here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine yourself as the person in the middle. What would you do if your boss, and how would you feel, I guess, if your boss made a habit of pointing out your successes, large and small?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that make you feel so good? Wouldn't it make you appreciate him or her more? Wouldn't then it be obvious to you that they're not just like every manager and that your boss recognizes the good work that you do and says so? I mean, because a lot of bosses recognize it. If we recognize it, why aren't we saying anything? If you recognize it, if you value it as a manager. And so, okay, but that's not the middleman test. The middleman test is, would you like it if your boss told you
exactly
about the things that they noticed you doing that they found valuable?
Right. And the answer is, of course, yes. Of course we wish our manager would say something.
And isn't it sad?
I know. I want to say that's like a super misunderstood concept when it comes to feedback. That is, when we think to ourselves, should I probably, or maybe is it a good idea to give my direct feedback about this thing? We think, no, they're just doing their job. And what that means is we think the people on our team are doing a job that isn't worthy of giving feedback on, which is almost nonsensical. Why does this job even exist if it's not worthy of being done? Well, the fact is, everybody is always going to feel good when they receive positive feedback, even if it's about standard expectations of their job, even if it's about something they've done 30 times and they've done it well. There's a release of endorphins. It's physical. It's not just emotional or mental. There's a release of endorphins when people accomplish the smallest thing. That's why people accomplish small menial tasks repeatedly for a tiny endorphin rush. Think getting through all your email or doing other tiny, tiny jobs, things that give you that feeling of satisfaction in the moment, right? That feeling of satisfaction, no matter how small it is something people crave, and we as managers have the ability to then give more of to our directs.
Right. They feel good. I think of it a little differently. Like, they feel good when they do those tasks, and we can increase that feeling. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And because some people listening probably are thinking, you know, I don't need a ton of positive input. However, your body is creating positive input. And we're only suggesting that your manager, if we're doing the middleman test thing again, should also be creating some positive input. It doesn't have to be effusive. It doesn't have to be over the top. And some people would say, okay, you don't know how I feel. Actually, what I feel is relief when I finish something because now I'm not in trouble.
Yeah.
And, hey, guess what? That's because, unfortunately, sadly, to my great dismay, we as managers have created a world where only mistakes get noticed.
Yeah.
That relief is actually the absence of punishment.
Yeah.
And isn't that terrible that doing good doesn't get rewarded from so many managers, that it's the fear of making mistakes that causes us to do our simplest tasks as opposed to the idea of recognition? It's honestly soul-crushingly sad to me. You know what else? And this is probably the thing that people haven't like followed this thought train to the next stop, which is, this is why negative performance communication gets pushed back. Because our directs don't feel that all the things that they have done have been recognized as good. And because we haven't mentioned anything or said anything, they feel justifiably that it's unfair that only the negatives of their work are discussed. Because we have given them no indication that we value the positive things that they do day in, day out, all the time, why wouldn't they feel that it's not okay because to get negative communication, negative performance communication? Mm-hmm. It's logical.
It's totally logical. So let's talk more about a less positive situation. So say your direct just made a mistake, right? They're late with a deliverable, something small. They missed a quality check in their rush to meet a deadline. They're late to a meeting. I don't know, they fail to notify an internal customer of a problem, and a colleague calls you asking why. They have to find out from somebody else because they weren't told. Right? Mistakes happen. They happen. And obviously, as managers, we want a behavioral change. If you do nothing, will it change?
Maybe.
It will. Maybe it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the middleman test.
Right.
If you knew, your boss knew you made a mistake, would it be better or worse if they didn't say anything at all?
Oh, I'd be so scared.
That's the thing.
Not hearing something, I would just be waiting for the other shoe to drop. I would be so worried that it was going to be later.
Yeah.
Or that in the case of the worst assumption, that it will come up at my performance review.
Yeah, exactly. For most of us, that's the answer, right?
Oh, just like a time delay on a bomb.
Exactly. Not hearing anything seems worst. We assume the worst, which we do every time because that's human nature. We're so used to receiving those negatives. We always assume it's going to be negative. We're looking for negatives where they don't exist. We assume it's going to be mentioned at the year-end review. Or what about this one? We assume that our manager doesn't even really care about our performance. That's dark. That's super dark.
Yeah, that would be so bummed. There are some people out there, right? Maybe you're so good that you think, I've gotten a pass this time. And yes, that can happen. But do we really know that?
Yeah. You're just telling yourself a story so you can sleep at night?
Yeah. And I was just like a coping mechanism
that
doesn't actually take it out of your brain. It's like the idea of like getting things done strategy. It's like put it on your tracker and then your brain doesn't have to keep it in the back, right?
Yeah.
Like clear out the back cupboards of your mind. If you're thinking anywhere in the back of your mind, is there going to be a mention later? There's a part that's like festering back there in your brain cavity. That's not a thing either. I'm super eloquent today, y'all. And okay, we have a solution. Feedback is the way to address all of these things. The manager tools feedback model gives you a way to discuss performance quickly, easy, and with positivity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The manager tools model isn't about the past. There's really nothing we can do about the past. It's over. It's done. We can't fix it. It's already written in the tablet. Manager tools feedback model is about the future. It's what can we do next time? Hey, next time we're in this situation, how is this person going to act? Are they going to have the knowledge of what we value to act upon? Are they going to have the knowledge of what we know didn't work to act upon? And that knowledge through communication really gives them the ability to behave effectively in the future. And in that way, we're just building up insurance for how they'll behave next time.
Exactly. That's why it's like insurance. It's like insurance because we're spending time now to ensure more effective behaviors occur the next time they're in that situation in the future. And it's insurance for your relationship as well. The more positive feedback we give, the more we allow for ourselves to deliver negative feedback without also us in turn receiving pushback from those negatives. Directs don't push back nearly as much with bosses who notice both positive and negative behaviors.
Yeah. Another thing about this being insurance is if you're going to talk about the stuff that happens, especially sometimes negative things, and we don't like to focus on negative because feedback is about performance communication and performance is inherently a combination of positive and negative. If negative things happen and you don't mention them, you don't communicate about them, there's a pretty solid chance that you're poisoning that relationship slowly by internalizing those things and not communicating them. And I'm sure y'all can imagine a relationship where, and maybe it's not just a work relationship, maybe it's a different one, where people have done things that you didn't love and you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And it tends to kind of like poison that well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are also, you know, shoring up our relationships and the strength of our relationships. Also, this is like insurance because it's cheap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like 10 seconds.
It only takes 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So consider that against the cost of continuing failure to perform.
Yeah.
If you potentially have to coach someone or put them on a performance improvement plan, the time it takes to put them through late stage coaching, which leads to potential termination, is astronomically bigger than the 10 seconds it takes to deliver the feedback. What if they get terminated? Think of the time you have to spend with HR in those cases.
All the meetings, all the uncomfortable situations with your direct and others, not to mention the ultimate outcome of that person loses their job. Let's say this is all with your own selfish thoughts in mind. It's a whole big old problem for you. Yeah. It's a lot more energy. Not to mention the fact that what if we do let that person go? And now we have to replace them. There's the cost of time and energy. There's recruitment and interviewing and hiring. And then we're probably hiring somebody at a higher salary who also, P.S., is going to be worse at their job, at least at the beginning, because they know absolutely nothing, until they get put up to speed. We have to assume poor performance at the beginning because they are unable to perform. They don't even know how to do their job yet. So all of those kinds of
10 seconds now saves you 10 minutes later, 100 minutes later, 1,000 minutes later. Mm-hmm. Interviewing, it's got to be 1,000 minutes. Spending time on feedback insurance now saves you all that time.
Totally.
Later. And positive feedback ensures more effective behavior.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If it's positive feedback, our directs are going to be much more likely to do things which they've previously been recognized for. It strengthens the relationship because the folks on our team are being given credit. We're recognizing the good work that they do. And again, it's worth giving positive feedback even for the basics of our, again, directs just doing their job. Because again, imagine a world where everybody just did their jobs all the time. You'd have time for bigger stuff, like planning an upgrade to a system that's going to pay dividends for your organization for years, getting everybody trained on how to interview, building an onboarding program. If people just did their jobs, you'd be able to identify new sources for hiring based on moves the company's going to make in the next few years, instead of leaving it up to HR because they don't really know the details about your work anyway, and you wish you had time, but you don't have time because you're so busy following people around, making sure that they do the things that you've asked them to do.
I think what we're saying is when you recognize small things that are good, you get more of those things.
Yeah.
Spending 10 seconds now, which is your insurance premium, saves you hundreds of minutes in the future correcting people who aren't meeting the standard. Years and years ago, when I first started working here, one of our previous colleagues, Judy, used to book my travel, and she did such a great job at it, helping me get into the exit row aisle seat consistently. And I live in a portion of the country that Southwest Airlines is one of the main carriers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd spent a lot of my previous professional life flying on Southwest. And you don't get to choose your seat in advance. So it could be really stressful to like walk down the aisle on a Southwest flight.
Be there in time and stand in that line and queue up and all the horrible things.
You don't know who you're going to sit next
to. You don't know.
And you have no guarantees. And you don't know what seat's going to be available to you.
Yeah. Middle, right by the bathroom, the back of the bus.
Oof. It's warm back there. I was walking down the aisle of the airplane and not on a Southwest flight. I had just had this Southwest experience for a long time. And Southwest is great at what they do. Still, though, if you've ever flown Southwest, you know the
anxiety.
Aisle anxiety I'm talking about. And I'm walking, and I realize Judy's booked me exit row aisle so many times at this point that I feel no aisle anxiety.
That's awesome.
I feel light. I know what my seat is going to look like.
Yeah.
You can get up, right? There's all kinds of stuff. So I called Judy. And of course, it's a terrible time to call Judy, right? Because I'm supposed to be boarding this plane. So she says,
Oh my gosh, are you okay?
She's panicking. And I said, nothing is wrong. I just want to tell you. And this doesn't meet the model, guys. Because
mm-hmm. you were peers.
Judy didn't work.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just imparting information to Judy. I said, when you book me consistently exit row aisle, here's what happens. I feel no anxiety boarding this plane. And I just want to thank you for that. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay, this phone call was max 30 seconds because I had to put my bags up and everything.
Yeah.
And I really didn't think anything of it. I just wanted to say thank you. 6 months later, maybe like that's about the right time frame. She calls me and she says, I'm so sorry. And I said, what's wrong? And she says, they've upgraded you to first, but you're on the window. Do you want me to move you back to exit row aisle? That's how powerful my 30-second positive input phone call was. And to be clear, I don't want to be moved back. I didn't. In first, they give you food. Mm-hmm. Like there's more food.
See, I would have moved back.
Really?
Yeah, totally. I used to get her to move me back all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'd rather be on the aisle at the back.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. No, I used to get her to move me out of the window in first into the back all the time because of that. Oh, I know. Gosh. Isn't that weird? People have like their own like little specific quirks. Yeah, no, because I like to stand up on flights.
I like food.
Oh, I don't
and
understand.
I mean, you know, there's other perks. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I really didn't want her to move me. But
yeah.
Again, that 30 seconds now, that insurance premium, it's about the future. It's about what happens in the future. And it's about getting the right airplane seat in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
It's helping your team do more of their work well. And as that happens, the culture becomes one of meeting higher and higher standards. And it encourages them to set high standards for others.
Yeah.
Including the people who get interviewed to be part of your team in the future.
Yes, exactly.
Because now what we're saying is if everyone is okay with lots of mistakes, then they will hire someone who meets that standard. Yeah. And that's not the standard we want. When instead your team is proud of meeting standards because of the feedback and this insurance premium payment that you've made, then they enforce it with their colleagues and expect it of applicants because of their experience. They ask it of the people around them.
Yeah. By osmosis, the people on your team become better at hiring because A's hire A's. That's why. Mm. People aren't going to be interviewing and hiring for somebody that they don't think will work as hard as they do. That's why.
Why would you want to hire? No,
Yeah, no. Exactly.
This year's M Conference has the experts talking about all kinds of things. Sign up at manager-tools.com/conferences. Tarko Patterson will talk to us about AI, because who isn't talking about AI? And Manager Tools might have some of its own AI to unveil at the event. David Cohen, General Counsel, will help us learn from our mistakes. Amy Kaufman, the COO of DRB Capital, is going to talk about strategic optics. We're going to learn about developing your people and creating cultures. Ben Haas of LeGrand will teach us how to teach. Mark Thomas, the CTO of MRO Healthcare, will be talking about culture from a tech perspective. And Justin Libby of NYWIC will show us his development playbook. If you're thinking about building organizations and ones that can withstand the changes in markets, Ben Thacker, a VP of Southwest Research Institute, will teach us how to expand initiatives across organizations. Brian Pasbrick, the president of Show Me Ethanol, and Ed Souza, formerly of BASF, will talk about businesses that last, some for 100 years. Come to the M Conference and learn about what's happening next in management and how you can meet the challenges for your business and the challenges of being an executive.
Let's take us then to negative. Negative feedback also ensures more effective behavior. Different behavior, same outcome. Negative feedback, insurance payments, give us similar benefits in the future. By politely, quickly, and again, affordably, mentioning somebody's mistake and forgiving them for it, we ask for more effective behavior in the future. And our data shows that 91% of the time, it takes only one instance of negative feedback to change someone's behavior.
Yeah, why would you wait for more similar mistakes before having like a conversation that's fraught with much more tension
about
what has now become an issue, air quotes, issue? It's really the opposite of insurance. That's just waiting for there to be like a small fire in your kitchen. Also, those conversations are kind of agonizing. You have to prepare. You dread them.
Right.
It's not enjoyable.
Mm-mm.
And if you, I can imagine someone spending 15 minutes to prepare and then 15 minutes having the conversation. Okay, 30 minutes. That's the equivalent of 180 feedback insurance payments at 10 seconds each.
Exactly.
Gross.
That's, gross.
I don't like it.
Gross. Yeah. And I would also argue, based on your previous, Kate, the mental energy that exists even when you're not in active preparation or in active completion of that conversation is such that it's weighing on you and it's taking up mental cycles that are go over and above that amount of time.
Yeah. And all the managers we know are complaining about not having enough time.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Why would you spend all that 100 and, you know, well, 30, why would you spend 30 minutes if you don't have a ton of time?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just like pay up front 10-second little increments and then not have to do this 30-minute conversation?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I know plenty of managers who think, well, the direct should know better and therefore the direct should self-correct because they know it was a mistake and therefore they should fix it themselves. And of course they should. But as, I mean, essentially we've been saying since the beginning of manager tools, almost 20 years ago now, should isn't a really good word in management. That is, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. You can wish all you want, but it's so much easier to just take out a tiny insurance policy instead of hanging all your hopes and dreams on something that might never occur. That's all.
Yeah, believe it or not, negative feedback insurance payments can actually strengthen relationships.
Yeah.
Maybe it surprises people. Of course they can, though. First, okay, if you use the MT model, you're going to show that you've forgiven the mistake by your tone and the fact that it's 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If your 10 seconds long is not denoting anger. They're also going to realize that things are okay. Hey, you're just doing your job as a manager, communicating about performance. And every time you do it, it gets easier for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, then this is just how we talk about performance, which, by the way, y'all, that's the way it was supposed to be all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like all along, that was how it was supposed to be, that it's just you doing your job. Why would you want to respond to someone not doing their job well by not doing your job well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when you say it like that, it sounds nonsensical. Like immediately, yeah. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. Okay, good point. Touche, Kate.
It also sets a really bad example.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, to me, says that's why people push back.
Yeah.
Because so often they've gotten bad presentations of this. Like they didn't do their job well, so somebody else didn't do their job well. And it's like, well, of course I'll push back. It's like, dude, you're not holding up the standard either.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So instead, let's uphold the standard by giving performance communication in small increments as things occur. And then we're setting a good example.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing it the other way, you're essentially saying, I'm not really leading. I'm not really managing. And if you're not really leading or managing, you really ought not to complain about the performance or culture of your team.
Exactly. And I mean, also, you're not going to dwell on it the way other managers tend to do. Other managers dwell on things because when they see a negative behavior occur, one of their directs does something that is not good, they stupidly sit back and wait for a pattern so that they have enough examples so that then when they go into this altercation, they have got plenty of examples to give to their direct to show all of these instances of X and Y happening, which is just makes the conversation even more bad. It's wrought with more dread on the behalf of the manager because now this conversation is about a big issue. And the directs push back even harder because now it's like, whoa, you mean you saw me screw up for the last 3 months and you just sat back and just collected all these examples to one day put back in my face? That's not cool. So why would we do this? Why do all this? I'm going to call it homework. Awful negative homework. But why would we do all this homework?
Right.
When you can pay a dirt cheap premium, you can show that you care about the work and about the person that you're managing, and those dreaded conversation because you waited, which always end up feeling bad. It's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You're further damaging your relationship by having those type of relationships versus simple negative feedback conversations.
Not paying these premiums, it dooms you to bigger payments later.
Yeah.
And if basically those payments come during... It. Right. And you know what? Those payments are going to come due during a crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to lose focus on this major project, delay the project, miss your deadlines, all while in the next few weeks in your mind thinking, shoot, I've got to talk to Roberto about this problem. That takes time, doesn't solve anything. Y'all, we're giving you the answer and you can start it right now.
Exactly.
Because negative feedback, it also strengthens your relationships. And it's essentially, Sarah, you mentioned this. You're essentially setting a standard of doing your job. And that makes it harder for other people not to do their job.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Performance becoming more a part of your culture can be brought about if you're behaving in a way that supports performance as part of the culture.
Exactly. And we can't forget the instance of maybe you can't fix things. I mean, more specifically, paying the negative feedback insurance premium strengthens your relationship, even with someone you might ultimately have to let go. The reason that so many directs are so angry when they're put onto a performance improvement plan or get involved in a late stage coaching engagement is really because the manager hasn't paid any negative feedback insurance premiums. And therefore, they're caught off guard. They had no idea this was coming. This is perfectly out of left field. They thought they were doing a great job. And when you give the negative feedback, it won't come to that. They'll know very clearly, very distinctly, all the while that they are on the road to possible performance improvement plan. And I mean, you can't save everybody. You may not be able to save them. But when you can't, they'll know it's not because you weren't doing your job as their manager. When the disaster of termination or failure to get promoted comes, you'll have paid up on your insurance premiums and things are going to go so much more smoothly than if you'd ignored the problem all the while and just hadn't talked about it or had the occasional blow up about it. And this normal insurance, what would cause ease of conversations? Not going to lie to you. They're not going to be all flowers and rainbows, but they're going to be built on trust. They're going to be built on professionalism and not considered as some sort of randomness or retribution for past ills.
Yeah. It's just a, hey, in advance.
Yeah.
And you know what I always find interesting is when people are just starting a job, there's a lot of on-the-job training and it often comes across in a form of, hey, when you do it like this, here's what happens. And that's why we don't do it like that. Or when you do it like this, here's why it's good. And we do all that at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about when people say, well, I'm going to wait till there's a pattern. It's like, hey, when they first start, would you let a pattern form? Yeah, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so what you think to yourself is, imagine that everybody's always trying to get better at their job. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are getting better because they don't know anything about it at the very beginning. Some people are just getting better because there's always room for improvement as you do your job for a while. Mm-hmm. You learn more about it.
Yep.
All we're doing is providing the information a person would need to be helpful, to be useful, to be productive, to meet our metrics. Giving feedback using the manager tools feedback model is performance insurance.
Yeah.
It's cheap because it's fast. And it pays off when you need it to in better performance. Without it, you're kind of fully exposed to all the performance disasters that may occur. So we want to suggest that you pay a little now so that you don't have to pay a whole lot more later.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a new topic.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye, Kate.